Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be focusing on the subject of resilience. We've talked about resilience before on these broadcasts and how important resilience is, not only in your personal life, but also in your professional life. It really can be important, and you're going to learn more today about why that is. I mean, you know, all of us face challenges, change, and complexity, and when you struggle, you often believe it's because you lack resilience, but it's really through challenges that you really gain resilience. Our guest today is a remarkable lady. Dr. Taryn Marie Staskull is her name. She is the resilience and leadership expert, both for leadership and for life, and she's been teaching this for quite a while. She's an executive coach. She is a very well-known keynote speaker, and she's the founder and chief resilience officer of the Resilience Leadership Institute. She's based in Philadelphia, by the way, and she points out that her mission in life is to help you access resilience in a real practical way so you can approach almost any challenge that you face and allow it to enhance you. She points out people often think you have to be born resilient, but really that's not true. People are actually made resilient. It means that you're not defined by your past circumstances and that you were made for even more. And resilience leadership is something that's based on more than a decade of research that the doctor's been conducting into what behaviors support people in developing and sustaining resilience in leadership and in life. It's all about supporting people in recognizing their worth and value and believing in themselves and appreciating their inherent strengths, recognizing their skills and their talents, and being more resilient in order to reach their full potential. So it's quite an amazing story and a great subject to talk about. Prior to launching the Resilience Leadership Institute, by the way, Dr. Staskull was the head of leadership development at Nike and also at Cigna. So she has worked with some really unbelievably highly qualified people. She's also the author of a forthcoming book called Flourish or Fold, The Five Practices of Particularly Resilient People. And that's based on a decade and a half of her original research. And we're going to get her to talk about that book because it really sounds quite important and quite interesting. It is coming soon. So, as they say in the movies, coming soon. The book is about to be released. We'll tell you more about it. But let's bring Dr. Staskull. You know, most people who know her call her Dr. Taryn or Taryn Marie. So we're going to call her Dr. Taryn. Dr. Taryn, it's a pleasure to have you with us today. How are you? Welcome aboard.
Oh, my goodness, Doug. It's wonderful to be here with you today. I'm absolutely wonderful and just filled with gratitude and excitement to be connected with you.
Well, listen, that makes us equal because I'm very impressed and thankful that you could take time out of your schedule to be with us. I should have pointed out, I'm going to do it right now, you really have a remarkable website. It really is so thorough and so interesting. Anybody who's listening to this subject, interested in this subject, or in Dr. Taryn, take a look at her website. It's resilience-leadership.com. Very easy to find, resilience-leadership.com. You can learn about the subject from that website alone, and you can also learn how to get in touch with Dr. Taryn. She is an executive coach. She coaches lots of people, and if you feel that, you know, her coaching could help you, that's how you would get in touch with her. So anyway, I'm really interested in what got you so fascinated in the subject of resilience, Dr. Taryn. Tell me a little bit about your background and what got you into this field to begin with. How about that? Take us back a little, okay?
I love starting there. That sounds lovely. So it's a great question, and people are often surprised by the answer. So when I was completing my pre- and postdoctoral fellowships in neuropsychology, I was focused on brain injury and spinal cord injury. And so here I am, right, just sort of like roll time back for a moment. I'm in my late 20s, and I'm, you know, this sort of new fellow with fire in the belly and excited about, you know, what we can do to advance the treatment of people that have had neurological injuries, brain injuries and spinal cord injuries. And this is so pervasive, by the way. You know, people listening in today, you know, you may have had a neurological injury. Likely we all know someone, a friend or a family member who's had a brain injury or a spinal cord injury. So it's very pervasive. It's very common. And I was in our outpatient clinic, and as many of you know, the rehabilitation from a brain injury or a spinal cord injury is often a long-term rehabilitation. You know, it can take months and even years. So I'm sitting with people in the outpatient clinic who've had, you know, they've had their injuries months or maybe even years before I've come on board as a fellow. And what I'm noticing as I look at their prognosis is that the person sitting in front of me quite often is doing better than we thought, or not as well as we thought, but certainly we're not hitting the target in terms of being accurate around the prognosis. And so I began to sort of talk to my supervisor about this, and he says, you know, well, if you're so interested in it, you know, go study it, go look at it. And so for two reasons. One, I wanted to be able to give people more accurate information at the time of injury, at the time of neurological injury, so people would know what's going to happen, because that's so important. And the second thing was, if people were doing better than we thought, I thought, what can we learn, you know, from folks who are beating their prognosis? And if people are, you know, not doing as well as we thought, I thought, what can we learn, you know, from people who aren't doing as well as we had imagined? So sort of fast forward, right, what we found in the data was as simple as it was surprising. And it's the idea that people that have access to reliable transportation, own a car or have a family member who owns a car and can operate the vehicle, these are the people who are doing better relative to their prognosis. These are the people who, statistically speaking, are able to live independently as opposed to living dependently or in assisted living. And we all know how important our independence is. So landing the plane, Doug, as I departed from my fellowship in neuropsychology, I start thinking to myself, okay, so this is a really important finding for people that have had brain injuries and spinal cord injuries that promotes resilience. Yet, we're not all going to have brain injuries or spinal cord injuries, but we all will face moments, inevitable moments in life of challenge, change, and complexity. And in those moments, what will be our version of reliable transportation? In short, what will be the thing or things that we can do that will allow us to create a more productive and positive outcome when we face challenge, change, and complexity? And so that led me to continuing to research resilience in an organizational setting in a corporate environment.
That sounds absolutely fascinating. Your website, as I point out, is really fascinating. And you mentioned in the website that you faced your own challenges of trauma, loss, and significant learning disabilities. It's kind of hard to believe that that could be true with what you're doing right now, but talk a little bit about that. Is that true?
Well, it is true. You know, not everything that you read online is true, but the website is true. You know, it's really important, I think, in the context of the work that I do, whether that's keynote speaking or doing corporate training and workshops or executive coaching, that I also get to share my story, my resilience story, so that people know, first and foremost, that I understand them, that I can relate to them, and also that they're not alone. And so, you know, for me, probably the three most kind of significant elements in my life, one was being diagnosed with dyslexia and ADHD at age 37. So I had made it all the way through graduate school, postgraduate work, by coming up with sort of workarounds and strategies for the things that were difficult for me. So today I'm still a terrible speller. That's why God invented spell check, I think. Now, for those of you that are terrible spellers, right?
Yeah.
you know, I can confound Word, Microsoft Word, with my spelling of a word, like words like we don't know. We have no suggestions for you, Dr. Taryn. But if I go to Google and I type the same thing in, Google actually knows. You know, they're like, oh, did you mean? I'm like, in fact, I did. Thank you, Google. So, you know, but growing up, I was in the lowest reading group in second grade, and I created these strategies to remember word combinations and difficult words like neighbor and way, or how to tell the difference between hoped and hopped. And I wasn't really ready to hear that I had a learning disability until I was 37. And so I got tested and found that it was indeed true. And another significant challenge that I've faced, and I think this will resonate with many of our listeners, you know, there's this idea, Doug, that in our lives, our experiences are both universal and unique. And so what's been so fascinating for me about what we've been going through over the course of the last nearly 2 years with this global pandemic is this is really the first time in our lives, and probably in the last 100 years, in the last century, that across the globe we have some commonality with everyone who's living here on this planet. We're all facing the universality of what this sort of COVID epidemic, pandemic looks like. Now, within that, we all have our unique experiences of what this means, you know, having lost people, you know, been ill ourselves, what that, how that's impacted our personal and professional lives. And for me, I had stepped out of my corporate role heading up executive leadership development and talent strategy at Nike with the idea that I was going to lead my own company, Resilience Leadership Institute, in earnest and full time in January of 2020. So I had met with my colleagues and other corporations. I had booked enough business, you know, to sustain and replace my income for the first 6 months of 2020. I was a single mother at the time, you know, responsible for all of my household expenses with two sons. And, you know, of course, we all know the story. In March of 2020, very early on in my entrepreneurial journey, not only did, you know, this global pandemic show up universally in all of our lives, but all of a sudden, all of that coaching and the workshops and the keynotes that I had booked, you know, in person disappeared and evaporated overnight. So all of a sudden, I was in this moment of really getting my sea legs as an entrepreneur. Then my sons are sent home from school, and I'm spending, you know, 6 to 8 hours a day trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to learn virtually while not having an income, and figuring out how do I pivot my company? Does this company work under normal circumstances, and can it be, you know, financially solvent, you know, in this pandemic environment? And so that was a really terrifying time for me to day after day not know if I was going to have an income, not know how I was going to have an income and support my family, and have so much time be devoted to virtual learning. And just anecdotally, I'll give you this image. I started dating my now husband in September of 2020. And the first time that he came to my house, there was this little sewing kit by the door and all these little socks with holes in them. And he was saying, like, oh, are these things going out to the trash, or are you going to go donate them? And I was like, no, I'm going to sew the holes in my son's socks because, you know, I'm saving money and I'm not sure, you know, what my sort of financial picture is right now. So, you know, fortunately he didn't, you know, run screaming from my home. But, you know, it's this, that really encapsulates the level of uncertainty. I didn't know if I was going to be able to afford, you know, new socks. And so I was getting my sewing kit out and sewing them. Now, thankfully, right, the story has a happy ending, or at least, you know, if we think about like how it started and how it's going today, resilience actually became, you know, a pinnacle point of conversation. It went from being a nice to have for leaders, for individuals, teams, and companies, to being something that was urgently needing to be understood and acquired. And so I went from that place, right, to now getting to speak virtually and in person all over the world and coach amazing people and work with athletes and actors. But there, you know, have also been some really dark, uncertain times. And that has tremendously and profoundly enhanced my own resilience. And I think in telling these stories, it really humanizes my journey and also gives permission for others to tell their resilient stories.
Boy, that's wonderful. Thank you for pointing all of that out. That's remarkable. You're a shining example of what is meant by resilience and how important resilience can be in almost every aspect of your life, in your personal life as well as your business life. That's remarkable. Thank you. We're talking to Dr. Taryn Marie Staskel. She is the founder and chief resilience officer of the Resilience Leadership Institute. You're going to hear that word a lot, resilience. Talk to me a little bit about your institute. What does the Resilience Leadership Institute actually do, Dr. Taryn? How do you answer that?
Great question. So I initially started this organization in 2018 when I was still heading up global leadership development at Cigna, global health insurance carrier. And initially, you know, I'd been doing this research probably for over a decade at that point, and I wanted to share what I was learning. And so initially the company started simply to be a way of sharing information and an opportunity, you know, for people to learn more about how to enhance their resilience in leadership and in life. And so my original research, as you mentioned, is on the five practices of particularly resilient people. So I've now interviewed hundreds of people and collected thousands of pieces of data asking people to reflect on when they faced a significant challenge in their lives. What did they do to effectively address that challenge? And having coded all of that data qualitatively and found, you know, organizing concepts, that's led to the five practices of particularly resilient people. So fast forward to today, the Resilience Leadership Institute, which I head full-time as our chief resilience officer, is an opportunity to not only be a purveyor of information, right, if you will. We've got lots of articles and blogs. I have a podcast called Flourish or Fold, Stories of Resilience, where we interview well-known people about their lesser well-known stories of resilience. But it's also an opportunity for us to work directly with individuals, teams, and organizations to further harness and enhance their resource. And so, you know, we do that through keynote speaking, through corporate workshops and trainings and being part of retreats and offsites, through our proprietary model on executive coaching that incorporates resilience, and our assessment entitled the Resilient Practices Inventory. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to get to share these concepts of resilience, the five practices of particularly resilient people, the three myths and truths that sort of block our understanding and our ability to access our resilience. And we're conducting new research all the time, you know, doing literature reviews to understand, you know, what other kind of empirical research is out there, and then also doing our own research to understand, for example, what are the sort of, what needs to be in place in an environment in order for leaders to be more vulnerable, right? The first practice of particularly resilient people is that of vulnerability, which was surprising to me when that came out of my research, and is also surprising to many people, because we still oftentimes believe that in order to be resilient, we should be unmoved by our circumstances or tough like Teflon. And so when people learn that vulnerability is the first practice of particularly resilient people, that oftentimes is very different from how they've thought about resilience. And so we get to look at things like, you know, how do men and women practice vulnerability differently? What needs to exist, say, in a corporate environment or in a business environment to allow people to maximally unlock and show up as a vulnerable or authentic or empathetic leader. And so I'm living my life's dream and purpose through Resilience Leadership Institute by way of getting to give a lot of this information away for free through our podcasts and articles and blogs and social media posts, and also getting to work very closely with amazing leaders and organizations.
You know, all of this is really so fascinating. Vulnerability being one of the main things that you've learned, that people have that you've talked with. That really, I was going to ask you the question, and then you came up with the answer before I even asked it. Let me ask you something else. I know you do a lot of executive coaching. What got you into doing that? And who, for example, I assume you're executive coaching executives from companies. You've worked with big companies, mentioning, Cigna and Nike, among others. Talk to me a little bit about that aspect of what you do, being an executive. I've talked to so many executive coaches. Most often an executive coach is someone who's worked at a high level at a corporation and then left it and gone into teaching others what he learned or he or she learned in their career. How about you? What got you into executive coaching?
Sure. I came up, say, through classic training in receiving a master's in marriage and family therapy, and then obviously completing my pre and post doctoral fellowships in neuropsychology. So I have this really sort of classic, call it, psychological or relational training. And then alongside that, I've over the years had the opportunity to also receive a number of executive coaching certifications as I've worked, in business environments. And so, heading up global leadership development at Cigna and also heading executive leadership development and talent strategy at Nike, I've had the opportunity to serve as a very high-level internal coach for our highest-level vice presidents and the C-suite within the context of those organizations. And so now leading Resilience Leadership Institute, what I get to do as an executive coach is I get to bring forth not only the experience of executive coaching, but really our unique principles around how I help leaders foster a sense of resilience in their own leadership and in their own lives, right, personal and professional. So I get to bring my expertise and research through resilience, along with this not only sort of classical training that I have, but having led coaching divisions or been the internal executive coach in high-level organizations has really prepared me to do this. Executive coaching is really one of my favorite things that I get to do, and I don't take on a lot of executive coaching clients because it is so intense, and it's also so rewarding. So I'm very careful about the executive coaching clients that I take on to ensure that we're aligned on what the goals and objectives are for coaching, and also that in terms of what they want to create, by harnessing their strengths and also closing kind of any leadership or skill gaps, that we're really aligned and that I can maximally be of service for them.
That's very interesting as well. Let me ask you if you have any favorite success story, just short one, an example of someone you've been able to work with that, went on to much more success because of their work with you. And I'm sure, went on over a period of time. But any quick example you could pass along?
Yeah, the example that comes to mind that might be most salient for our listeners today is I was working with the CEO of an organization, sort of newly minted CEO who was brought on board. And the board of the organization was getting a lot of call it noise, right, from individuals in the C-suite about his leadership. Now, of course, to complicate matters, two members of the existing C-suite had been part of, the process of looking at the succession for the CEO, and neither of them had ultimately received that role. So now we've got two members of his team who were sort of in process to be considered for the CEO role. Neither of them received it. He was brought in from an outside organization. And so I was brought on board really for three reasons. One, to help him in his onboarding process as the CEO of this organization. Two, to work with the C-suite that he was leading and help them come together in a more productive and effective way as a team. And three, to really sort out this noise that the board was hearing about, you know, issues or sort of concerns relative to his leadership. And what ended up happening was I was able to find that one of those members of the C-suite who had been in the running for the CEO role, this person was actually saying things that were untrue across the organization, intentionally undermining the CEO and even, you know, going so far as to try to get other members of the C-suite to gang up with her against him. So I was able to do a leadership assessment of his strengths and leadership capabilities so that we could really see that from an empirical basis. You know, what do the assessments say about his strengths and opportunities as a leader, and effectively evaluate those, help him bring his strengths forward to his team and the broader organization. And then we were able to bring the C-suite team together, the leadership team together, in a way that this woman, you know, this isn't always the outcome, right? But she ultimately ended up choosing to leave the organization, and we were able to create more effectiveness, more trust, more transparency, more candor amongst him and his team. So I was able to help him lead effectively, bring the team together, and also kind of understand the genesis of some of the issues that the board was hearing.
Well, that's a great story. You changed, you helped the company as well as him, the person.
Absolutely.
You were coaching. Wow. You know, we're almost out of time. I want to point out the fact you have this book coming out soon. It's called Flourish or Fold, The Five Principles or Practices of Particularly Resilient People, based on, obviously, your research. Tell me just a little bit about the book. It's coming soon, as they say in the movies, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's coming to an in-person or digital or virtual bookstore near you. Absolutely.
Near you, yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. You know, this is a wonderful book because in my mind it's the beautiful intersection of both research and storytelling. And so what we do is unpack the case for resilience. You know, how does this make a difference for individuals in leadership and in life, on teams, and of course, you know, more broadly across organizations and culturally as we think about resilience systemically. And then with each of the chapters, we have an opportunity to talk about each of the five practices of particularly resilient people. So to look at what is the definition of this practice, how do you practice it, what are tips and tricks to be able to do more of this as a leader, what are stumbling blocks for individuals. We have case studies and stories, you know, many from executives that I've worked with or, you know, sometimes, you know, well-known people that have been on our podcast or
and
been part of our storytelling.
For anybody to read to learn about resilience and leadership, right? Not just business executives, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a how-to guide to enhance your resilience in leadership and in life.
That's great. Dr. Taryn Marie Skaiskel has been our guest. What a remarkable lady. And listen, go to that website. You will be amazed by it. It's resilience-leadership.com. Resilience-leadership.com. Dr. Taryn, thank you so much. It's been wonderful chatting with you. You're an amazing person, and it's our pleasure to have you as our guest. Thank you, ma'am. It's been great.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care. Bye for now.